a couple of announcements. In the bulletin, it says that I'm in Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesday mornings. This week, I will not be here on Monday. I have an appointment in Philadelphia tomorrow, so will not be here tomorrow. However, I will be here the 9 to 3 time slot on Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday this week. So if you would need to, and if you need to get hold of me, my phone number, my email, of course, is there. A couple prayer updates. Joanne Fonestock is in Wellspan Good Samaritan Hospital. She came home, and she went back in again. And they're just trying to get some blood counts stabilized and so on. So I just talked to Lamar this morning, and he said he's not sure when she'll come home, but just keep her in your prayers, and Lamar as well. And also Catherine Hartranft will be coming home tomorrow, correct? Today, coming home today. So we thank God for that. This week, and you'll notice in your bulletin that we are praying for the Kahnawake Church of the Brethren, and then that the Providence Church of the Brethren will be praying for us. There's also something different you'll notice on the prayer page in your bulletin, where it says, this week pray for those on pages 26 and 27 in the church directory. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in my sermon this morning. But that's a new thing that you'll see in that prayer page. Also, starting next Monday, July 20th, 7 o'clock, a Bible study here at the church. The folks that were in the earlier Bible study, I asked them for ideas, and the ideas I got were Revelation or Daniel. I said, thanks for giving the new pastor the two hardest books in the Bible. But we're going to tackle Revelation a little bit. So if you're interested in that Bible study, it'll start next Monday evening, 7 o'clock here at the church. Also going to do it on Zoom so that you can access that either way. But I would appreciate knowing if you're going to participate, so I have enough material. So let me know, please, if you're going to participate in that Bible study. Let's come into an attitude of worship now as Barb leads us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. If you would please join with me in the call to worship, it's listed on the back of your bulletin this morning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on the Lord while he is near.
We look to you, Lord, and listen for your word.
Trust that the experiences of our lives, combined with the provisions God has given us, will all work out for our good. Hallelujah. And now let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we come before you with joy and thanksgiving for who you are and for all you give us. We praise you especially for your word, which changes our lives. Our hearts break into song as we perceive your love and purpose for us. We confess that our thoughts are not always on the level of your thoughts, and our ways often fall short of your ways. In spite of this, you extend mercy to those who turn to us, who turn to you. Lord, grant us the strength that comes from trusting in your word. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, if you'd all stand, please, and join in singing the hymn, 'Tis the Blessed Hour of Prayer, 300 in the Brown Hymnal. Now, if you'll please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to share some scripture with you this morning from Psalms 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servants also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now we shall have some special music from Barb. And Barb.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As you see in your bulletin, the first song I'm going to try to sing is Blessed Assurance. This is one of my favorite hymns, and it also was one of my husband's, Danny, and you all know Danny. So I'm going to try. My voice does crack, so forgive me if it cracks, but that's the way it happens. So, okay, Barb. Taken from the 84th chapter of the book of Psalms. And in fact, I'm going to read it, okay? How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found her a home and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. Place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. How lovely are your dwellings, O Lord.
So long as ye fainteth.
Thank you, Barb and Barb. Thank you for sharing your gifts with us that the Lord has blessed you with. This morning, before I do the prayer dedication for the offering, I'd just like to share something. I would like to speak on how do we handle change. I remember very well as children, when we were growing up, there was an elderly neighbor who would call my mother up on the phone, and he'd say, "Send the girls over." And we'd run over and stand on the porch where he would give us each a shiny quarter or two. And then we'd run home and drop them in our piggy banks. As children, we have such trust and joy in the world. Happiness is close to reach, and change is embraced with great joy. We trust our parents for our care and well-being. As adults, we have new changes in our lives, and the simplicity leaves, and it's replaced by responsibility. But just as we trusted in our parents as children, we can trust in our Heavenly Father to watch out over us and take care of us, as long as we put our faith in Him. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 through 4, He tells us, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." May we all have faith as a child in our Heavenly Father. And now as we bow our heads, let's pray and bless the offering. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that we can join together. We thank you for your guidance and your blessings and being our Heavenly Father to always watch over us. May we share everything that we have on this earth with you and realize that it all comes from you. Please bless us as we go on with our day and protect us as we deal in this world that's ever-changing and different. Let us put our faith in you that you will help us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now if the children want to come up, Pastor Dennis has a children's story for you.
Do either of you have a bicycle? You have a bicycle? Do you ride on two wheels? Yeah, good. Well, a couple weeks ago, I did a children's story and showed some things my father had made with his scroll saw. And one of the things he made for me one time was this little rider on a bicycle. That's one of the things I've always liked to do, riding bicycle. And a good friend and I do some bike riding occasionally, not as much as I'd often like to, but we do most of our riding on what they call trails. This is a magazine that I get. It's called Rails to Trails, where across the country they're turning old railroad lines into bicycle and hiking trails, and even some of them you can take horses on. And I got this book that has all about rail trails or bike paths in Pennsylvania. One of our favorite ones, one of the ones we ride a lot, is actually the Lebanon Valley Rail Trail. It starts in the village of Colebrook, which is that direction, and comes through Mount Gretna and Cornwall and into the city of Lebanon. And right now it ends around in the city of Lebanon, but I understand eventually it's supposed to go all the way to Swatara State Park. So that'll be a really nice ride. We've done some longer rides too. When we were a little bit younger, we rode one year from Pittsburgh to Washington, D.C. That was like 350 miles, but we did it over a whole week. We took a whole week to do it. And we did one long one in Ohio from the city of Cleveland to the city of Cincinnati, but we did that one over a week too. But the whole idea that these rail trails, these paths that they make for us to ride our bicycles on. Did you know that there is a path that can take you and connect you with God? Did you know that? There is a path that can take you to God, and the pathway is called prayer. Prayer is how we can connect to God, okay? Maybe you say prayers before you go to bed, or maybe at mealtime, okay? You say prayers. And in the Bible, in the book of James, there's a verse that tells us that we are supposed to pray for one another. Okay, so we have our own prayers. We connect with God with our own prayers, but we also connect with God when we pray for other people, like your mom and dad, your grandma and grandpa, people here at the church or whoever, prayer is our connection. Prayer is our pathway to God. So as you get older and you'll learn how to pray and make use of that pathway, that connection that we have with God. Let's say a prayer right now, okay? God, we thank you for Abby and Isaiah and for all your children. And we just pray that you would bless their family and that as they grow, they will connect with you through that pathway of prayer. Be with them and be with their family, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
Okay, our scripture this morning comes from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest.
It's been said that confession is good for the soul. And with that in mind, I want to start this message with a confession. I've always found the most difficult thing for me to do spiritually is to develop a disciplined life of prayer. I've tried lists, prayer journals, you name it, but I know exactly what my problem is. I too easily get distracted by the busyness of the day, and before I know it, time has gone by, and I've neglected once more to take that time to discipline myself in an intentional time of prayer. I tell myself when I, here at the church, well, I'll take some time in prayer. And then when I get here, I'm distracted by email or phone calls or my to-do list for the day. Before I know it, time has gone by, and I realize I've neglected that vitally important element of my day. Now, you would think after 70 years, I would have this thing called prayer figured out. But I don't think I'm alone in this. In fact, I saw some heads shaking as I was sharing a little bit there. I recently read a survey of over 20,000 Christians between the ages of 15 and 90, which found that on average, more than 4 in 10 Christians say they often or always rush from task to task. And about 6 in 10 say that it's often or always true that the busyness of life gets in the way of developing their relationship with God. Interestingly, according to this survey, by profession, 54% of pastors were most likely to say they rush from task to task, which adversely affects their relationship with God. So like I said, I don't think I'm alone in this regard. It's not that I don't pray. I do every day, many times. It's just that I've not disciplined myself to an intentional time for prayer. I know I could be doing better. I know I should be doing better. I know I can't be the person or the pastor God wants me to be unless I nurture that relationship that I have with God through prayer. And I know that getting upset with myself over it doesn't help matters at all. Thankfully, I think God understands. Still, that's no excuse for my lack of discipline. Deep down, my desire is to be a disciplined and powerful prayer. Do any of you have the same struggle? Did the opening video this morning touch any thoughts or questions you might have had about prayer? Prayer is so vitally important. It's the one way we are in touch with our Creator. Prayer is an encounter with God. Prayer is the way we sustain our relationship with our Creator. It makes our relationship with God come alive. It's the mysterious mingling of our personality with God's personality. It's an opportunity to pour out our deepest pains or our wildest joys, knowing that we're being heard. As James says, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Scripture is filled with prayers and with beautiful images of prayer. Some of my favorites are actually in the book of Revelation, where the writer speaks of the prayers of God's people mixing with the smoke of the heavenly incense and rising up to God. For example, Revelation 8, 3 to 4. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. And in another place, John the Revelator tells of 4 living creatures and 24 elders who fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Can you see that in your mind's eye? The prayers of God's people rising up to the heavenly throne, where God takes them in, where God delights in the prayers of his people. In Scripture, incense is a symbol of prayer, symbolic of our prayers rising up and as a pleasing aroma to God. In Psalm 141:2, David says, "My prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." God delights in our prayers, and God hears our prayers. In Ezra 8, some of the people of Israel were preparing to return to Jerusalem from Babylon. And Ezra says he gave orders for all the people to fast and humble themselves before God. And then he says, "We prayed that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children and our goods as we traveled. So we fasted and earnestly prayed, and he heard our prayer." Prayer can change things. When Daniel was faced with death because King Nebuchadnezzar was upset that no one could interpret his dream, he went to the king and asked for more time. And Daniel 2:17 through 19 says, "Then Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened. He urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven." And Isaiah 38:1 through 6 tells of King Hezekiah's experience when his prayers saved his life. It says that about that time, Hezekiah became deadly ill, and the prophet Isaiah went to visit him. He gave the king this message: "This is what the Lord says, set your affairs in order, for you're going to die. You will not recover from this illness." When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you." Then he broke down and wept bitterly. Then this message came to Isaiah from the Lord: "Go back to Hezekiah and tell him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I've heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. Yes, I will defend this city.'" Prayer can change things. God knows our needs even before we come to him in prayer. Again in Isaiah, the Lord says, "I will answer them before they even call me. While they're still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers." And Jesus in Matthew 6:8, "Your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him." Now one might ask, "Well, if God already knows my needs, then why does he need to wait for me to bring them to him in prayer?" Well, it all comes back to the need for relationship. Our need for God and God's desire to be in relationship with us. We need and we're created for that relationship. And as the video said, prayer is the vital breath of the believer's soul. We're created to enjoy sacred communion with God. God wants us to see him and live with him and draw our life from his life. But that can't happen without prayer. Prayer is the way we maintain that relationship which gives us life. Now, some of you could be thinking, "Well, those Bible stories are real nice, but what about me? What about here and now? How do I know God hears my prayers? How can prayer change things in my life?" These are good and difficult questions, and I wish I could tell you, "Well, this is how," and then rattle off steps A, B, and C to lead you to the answers. But it's not quite so easy. What I can tell you is this: if we are to experience the real power in prayer, and I believe that there is real power in prayer in spite of the difficulties I have with disciplining myself, if we're to experience prayer's real power, we need to first of all believe. There can be no efficacy in our prayers if we don't believe that God is on the other end to receive our prayers. We may as well be praying to the wind or some idol of wood or stone. Jesus said, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, if you can pray for anything, And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. We first have to believe. Then we have to discipline ourselves in that habit of prayer. We need to be as disciplined as Daniel when he was faced with the possibility of going to the lion's den because of his refusal to pray to King Darius. Scripture says he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. And Paul's encouragement in 1 Thessalonians is good for us to remember as well. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Well, while our individual prayers are the vital breath of the believer's soul, we can experience a whole other dimension of the power of prayer when we come together in prayer, when we pray for and with one another. Jesus said, "I tell you that if 2 of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the 20th century German theologian who was killed as a traitor by the Nazis, wrote these words in his book, Life Together. He says, "A Christian fellowship lives and exists by the intercession of its members for one another, or it collapses. I can no longer condemn or hate a brother for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble he causes me. His face that hitherto may have been much trouble, His face that hitherto may have been strange and intolerable to me is transformed in intercession into the countenance of a brother for whom Christ died, the face of a forgiven sinner. This is a happy discovery for the Christian who begins to pray for others." See, the most important thing we can do that can strengthen the unity, the health, the spiritual vitality, and the witness of this community of faith is to pray for one another. We may know specific requests for prayer, such as those which come through the bulletin or a prayer chain. Sometimes that's the only time we pray for one another, when one of us is suffering. And indeed, in those situations, we should. It's easy for us to remember to pray for someone during the times of need, but we really should be praying for the church and for one another regularly. Sometimes, unless we have that specific need in mind, it's difficult to know what to pray for. Sometimes we fall into repeating those meaningless cliches or the same thing over and over again because we just don't know what to ask God for in prayer. In Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14, Paul gives a pattern for prayer, which I think hits on the needs we all have as followers of Jesus and is a pattern we could use in our prayers for one another. This is what he wrote, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you," he says. "We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will also honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." It's interesting that Paul never traveled to visit with the Colossian church, and yet he says he's never stopped praying for them ever since he heard of them. He didn't know any of their specific needs, but what he prayed for, I think, was significantly more important to the life of that community of faith than anything else. So when we pray for one another, in addition to any specific requests we might know, we can pray for one another as Paul did. First, he said he never stopped praying for the Colossian church. Now, I don't think that he necessarily meant that he was in prayer for that church 24/7, 365. But it does mean that he deeply cared for those people and for that church. And he demonstrated his caring by regularly lifting them to God in prayer. The most important thing we can do for one another is to pray for one another. When we do so, we unite ourselves with one another in this place and with Christ's church worldwide. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, as a Christian fellowship lives and exists by the intercession of its members for one another, or it collapses. When we're not sure what or how to pray, Paul's pattern for the Colossian church, I think, is a good one. Paul asked God to give them complete knowledge of his will. He wanted God to bless them with understanding of what God wants them to do. I think a prayer for understanding and God's will is especially timely for us here at Myerstown Church of the Brethren right now. Pray that God will reveal his wisdom and his vision for us here at Myerstown. Paul asked God to give them spiritual wisdom and understanding. And as we struggle to put behind us a past that has seen this church diminish in size and mission and outreach, what better prayer than that we would come to know God's wisdom, that we would come to understand what his will is for this congregation? Paul asked God to help the Colossians live in a way which would always honor and please the Lord, and that their lives would produce every kind of good fruit. What better prayer for us to pray for one another than that our lives would produce fruit which honors and pleases God, fruit of lives lived by the example and the teachings of Jesus? Paul prayed that they would that they would grow as they learn to know God better and better. Let's pray that God will help each of us to grow in our faith and our understanding of God and of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit and of the Word. As each one is strengthened in faith, the church will grow in faithfulness and maybe even grow in numbers. Paul prayed the Colossians would be strengthened with all of God's glorious power so they will have the endurance and the patience that they need. In these days in which we live and are the church, we need God's strength, endurance, and patience. Things will not turn around immediately. Life in general and life for the church will not go back to normal instantly, or maybe if ever. More than ever, we are the church in a time when we need God's strength, when we need a spirit of endurance and patience, when the world around us needs the church. We're on a journey, and we must trust that God is with us on this journey. And then Paul concluded with a blessing and a reminder. The blessing, may you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. And the reminder, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. In praying for one another in this way, I think we can begin to see one another and this church in a new light. As Bonhoeffer said, I can no longer condemn or hate a brother for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble he causes me. His face, that hitherto may have been strange and intolerable to me, is transformed in intercession into a countenance of a brother for whom Christ died, the face of a forgiven sinner. So this morning I want to put before you a challenge. I highlighted that prayer page in the bulletin this morning, and the sentence in the bulletin that says to be in prayer for those on pages 26 and 27 in the church directory. Beginning this week, let's make an intentional effort to pray for one another. So I challenge you each week to pray for those whose names appear on the page or the pages that will be listed in the bulletin, beginning with this week with those on pages 26, which only has two families, by the way, and page 27. Of course, we should always keep those with special needs that are on the prayer list and their requests in the forefront as we become aware. But we all need prayer. And as a church, especially in these days, we need to be praying for one another. I know that many listed in the directory are no longer active participants in this church. In fact, someone said to me this morning, I don't even know who some of those people are. Well, they need prayer too. And who knows? Maybe your prayers will bring someone back to the church. So let's pray without ceasing for one another. Let's pray that God will teach us to love one another, to accept one another, to forgive one another, to serve one another, and to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray that God will give us an understanding of his will, that he will give us wisdom, that our lives will produce fruit which honors and pleases God, that we'll be motivated to goodness and kindness, that we'll learn to know God better and better, that the power of God will strengthen us, that he will give us patience and endurance as we live the life of faith together, that we will experience the joy of the living Christ, and that in all things we will give thanks. If the prayer of one person living right with God is powerful and effective, imagine the power of our combined prayers rising up on the heavenly incense to God's throne. Will you do this for one another? Will you pray for one another? Let's come into a time of prayer this morning. We're going to begin by singing two verses of that familiar hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit Comforter, as each of you is unique in your person, yet one in mind and purpose, so all make also make us one, we pray. We are diverse in our thinking, in our life experiences, in our faith journeys. We are young and old, rich and poor, male and female. Take our differences, O God, and blend and use them to make us stronger than we can be on our own. We long to be one body, united as followers of Jesus. We long to be the people you want us to be. Teach us, O God, to love one another as you have loved us. Help us to accept one another as you have accepted us. Help us to forgive when we've been offended. Help us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Help us to serve and to encourage one another. Oh God, we each pray now for the persons who are sitting on our right and on our left. Hear us as we pray now for those of this community of faith who are not able to be here this morning. Pray now for this church's leadership, for the deacons, the board, and the commissions. Oh God, build your church, we pray. Open our hearts to your will. Give us wisdom that we may honor and please you in our living. Help us to motivate one another to goodness and kindness. May we know you better and better. May your power strengthen us. Give us patience and endurance as we live the life of faith together, at all times building up one another for service and witness. May we experience the joy of living in Christ together. In all things, we give you thanks. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand and join in our closing hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. Go now in peace. May God surprise you on the way. May Christ Jesus be your company. And may the Holy Spirit lift up your life as you lift one another up to God's throne. Go again in peace. Amen.